You are listening to the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast brought to you from Beaufort, South Carolina. Today, we're really excited to have Victoria Smalls on with us, and she's going to tell us all about the Penn Center and Reconstruction era that happened in South Carolina. Thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. When Rob mentioned that he wanted to have you on here and to talk about the Penn Center, I got so excited. I'm a huge history buff, and I love learning about this stuff. And as soon as I looked it up, I was like, oh, this is a beautiful episode to have. So very excited.
Thank you. Thank you.
So first of all, do you want to just give us a quick little background about who you are? And
Certainly. I'm Victoria Smalls. I'm a native of St. Helena Island here in Beaufort County, and I'm a public historian, a culture preservationist, and a former director of history and culture at the Penn Center. And I love talking about the Reconstruction era and the history of Penn. It's my part of my personal mission in life.
Love that. We're really excited to have you talk about that and share your passion with all of us, because just from the conversations I've had with Rob, I know that your history and the history of South Carolina is really rich in the whole culture and the intercoastal lifestyle, as Rob always calls it. So I'm really excited. So to start off, do you want to let us in and know what Reconstruction is and when did it take place and kind of give us some background on that?
Wow. So the Reconstruction era history is one of the most significant periods in American history. And it was indeed a period of unity and disunity, of racial coalitions and racial hostilities. Well, during this time, the United States government had to answer several questions. And some of those questions were how to integrate millions of newly freed people from bondage into a free society. And that's incorporated the freed into all systems, whether that's economic, social, the labor, right, and political. And also, another question is how to usher in the states of the former Confederacy. And then also, how to secure and safeguard the rights of the freedmen. The era took place between 1861, at the beginning of the Civil War, and lasted through the dawn of Jim Crow, racial segregation, until about 1898. So this time span is a little bit different from what we've learned in school. When I was going to school, we were taught that it was going to come after the Civil War, and that really it's reconstructing all the damage that has been done physically to the spaces that were ravaged by war. But it was so much more than that. It's going to be a political reconstruction, a social reconstruction. Like I said, how they're going to integrate millions of people that are newly freed back into freed society.
I guess that's something you don't really think about because it's not something they talk about in history. They just are slavery ended, but they never talk about that whole process. So this is a whole new side to it. We don't think about.
I agree. It is a whole new side. And I want to say that there's a wide gap in between old scholarship and what we have today, because our histories are being uncovered, unburied every day. We're learning something new every single day. And so we're really grateful to a lot of the scholars that have new information or more information that has been hidden from us for so long. So this is how we get to know about this new time span from 1861 to the end of the 1800s. And some even argue that it goes into 1905. So there's a lot of things that incorporate this new time span of Reconstruction.
Yeah, it's just so much to think about right now, because it's something we haven't really talked about. I agree, though. It's amazing that we have scholars that are uncovering all of this. So I guess that leads into the next question, which is, why is Beaufort considered the site where Reconstruction began? Because I know it has a lot of historical relevance to you guys specifically.
Wow, so Buford is amazing. The Reconstruction era really began here and lasted here the longest. Well, I argue that that it began here and lasted the longest. And I also
I'll support you.
Yeah, thank you. And I also argue that Beaver County is like the epicenter of the Reconstruction era because of the historic events that took place here and because of the people who lived and worked here and dedicated their lives to true Reconstruction in all aspects of it. For example, in November 1861, the Sea Islands here in South Carolina in the Beaufort area came under control of the U.S. Navy and Army, and they captured the Port Royal Sound. At this time also, the plantation owners fled, and more than 10,000 African Americans, who made up about one-third of the enslaved population, refused to leave the area with their enslavers. So that's about 10,000 of them that the Union forces found here, still here.
Wow.
And being considered property, that's a lot. And so with
that
us
being,
and with us being considered property, and I say us because I'm a proud descendant of formerly enslaved people here. So if I say us, it doesn't mean that I feel like I'm enslaved. It's, I'm just trying to give honor and recognition to those who were enslaved in my family.
It's part of your heritage.
It is a very deep part of my heritage. And so being considered property, the enslaved were taken on as contraband of war. And working with anti-slavery groups, religious societies, and the federal government, the enslaved here experienced emancipation far sooner and began to create their own freedom. And that's really something that really puts Buford at the beginning of the Reconstruction era, at the beginning of the Civil War. Yeah.
I see, this is completely new for me, but I love learning about this. And it just makes me so happy that they got to experience that so much sooner than other places
did. You're right. So much sooner than the Emancipation Proclamation, so much sooner than what we've just celebrated, Juneteenth.
Right.
And then also there's words that people don't realize that were in play. For example, we were called slaves. I always like to use the word enslaved people.
I agree.
Yeah. And then so taking off that word slave, we were taken on as contraband of war. So then some scholars and writers during that time period referred to us in this area, in the Buford area, in the Port Royal Sound area, as the contraband. And then soon, in about 1862 or so, we're going to start being called the freedmen. So it's really interesting, the different ways in which we're described during the time span.
That's giving me so much to think about. Like, you just talk and I'm like taking it all in. And I think how timely this is that it was so close to Juneteenth. Like, how perfect of an episode is this?
Absolutely. I find that a lot of people that visit Buford and the surrounding areas, when they learn this history, sometimes they get a little upset, sometimes, or they get invigorated and want to be eager, and they're actually eager to learn more about the time and the history of Buford. And when I say they get angry or a little upset, it's because they haven't seen this in their history books. And so it's really important for people to come and really be immersed, fully immersed within the history when they come and visit Buford.
I agree. Like, we've already talked about a lot of the cool aspects that there are to see and do in Buford with Rob in past episodes. And in the last episode, we did actually like mention the Penn Center, but he wanted to save it for this conversation and talking about the Reconstruction period. And I'm glad he did, because this is so, so great. But it's like almost overwhelming just talking about it, because I'm like, so much history I didn't learn. And like I mentioned before, I'm a huge history nerd, so I love like anything. So we might have to like make me shut up so that I actually can let you talk, because I'm so excited about this. Like, I could probably talk with you about this for days.
Oh, I love talking about it. I can do full lectures. I can in a classroom setting about it. I love it. And any question that you have, I'm open and ready for. At least I hope I am.
I'm sure that you are. You sound very, very knowledgeable on all of this. So this has been great. So I guess my next question too would be, who are some of like key figures or key people that either in Beaufort and, or outside of it that really influenced and affected the Reconstruction era?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I love that. So as I said, Beaufort is fortunate to have been the epicenter for the Reconstruction era. Also because some of the notable and unknown people that have really put the work in and the dedication to speak to the freedom of the people here. People like Robert Smalls. Robert Smalls, every day, because my name is Victoria Smalls, every day it never fails. People ask me, are you related to Robert Smalls? And all I can say is, I really want to be. I want to be related to him. Even his mother.
I was just going to ask, actually, if that was, if you were related. I was like, this is amazing. It's relative, but.
I know. I want to be. And one of the great things is that his family, I used to work for his second great-grandson while I worked at the International African American Museum in Charleston. That's a museum that's going to be built in 2021.
Well, oh, that's Robert, so cool.
Yeah, it is. And Robert Smalls' second great-grandson is Michael Bulwer Moore. And he's educated me a lot about his family, taking me into the Robert Smalls home here in Beaufort, which hopefully, you know, we can get to a little bit about that history. But he's taken me on as an honorary cousin of the family. So I can say that I'm, you know, part of the family. Yeah. But Robert Smalls.
You found your way in.
I did. I found my little way in, and I'm going to keep it until I can find some other concrete connection. But until then, I love sharing the history about him. And he was an enslaved person here in Beaufort. His mother's name was Lydia Polite. And one of the things that is so amazing about him is that even as a young person, he really did not take well to being enslaved. There are many stories about his youth and how his mother thought that it was very important to share with Robert that he was enslaved for his own protection, that he really needed to be mindful of some of the laws that were in place that govern how enslaved people should and should not behave. But because Robert, a young Robert, even an older Robert, but a young Robert he just did not take well to that notion of being enslaved. But there was one time span during the Civil War. He, with several other enslaved people, stole the Confederate steamship, the Planter, and surrendered it to the Union forces, the United States blockade that was in the Charleston Harbor. And he surrendered it, and then he was awarded and would get this money a little bit later in life. But with that money, he purchased his former enslaver's home and became a central figure in the political arena during this time span of Reconstruction. Smalls visited with President Lincoln, which is amazing. Someone who was formerly enslaved here as a young person and then taken off to Charleston enslaved, still enslaved, stole this steamship, and then was able to meet with President Lincoln. You know, you hear people say, well, who are some of the people that you would like to sit with if you could? Anyone in history. I would imagine it would be Harriet Tubman, President Lincoln, you know, all these different figures that have, you know, really spoke to African-American life. After meeting anyone in history, these figures, you want to be able to speak to them about, you know, their contributions to African American freedom and life. You know, what inspired them? What moved them to do the things that they did? So when Smalls visited with President Lincoln, he was commissioned to recruit up to 40,000 African American men to fight in the Civil War.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was speaking on behalf, along with Frederick Douglass, on how one of the best soldiers that could serve are the people that are fighting for their own freedom. And that would be the formerly enslaved African American men. And so after that, Small served 10 remarkable years in the South Carolina legislature, another 10 years in Congress. And there are many who say and argue that Robert Smalls has been called, actually, or is the most consequential South Carolinian who ever lived. And I agree with that because of all that he has done. He's also responsible for legislating public education, all the important things that is going to be needed to give African Americans a public education during Reconstruction. And he's also someone that's going to be, you know, a hero even today to many.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and how he was able to become catapulted within the political arena is because the story of heroism, being able to steal the planter, that steamship, and then that went widespread. And even today, there are young people that are empowered by Robert Smalls' story and his heroic deeds.
Yeah, as so they Robert, should be.
Yeah.
I'm in awe over here. Like, you just kept going about all these things he did. And I was like, what a remarkable human being.
He is. And so there's this quote that I love that the Honorable Robert Small stated. He says, "My race needs no special defense, for the past history of them in this country proves them to be equal of any people anywhere. All they need is an equal chance in the battle of life."
Amen.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That is powerful. And I would even say, you know, that can even be said for today. And so the Honorable Robert Smalls, he is really a hero in my mind and many others. And this quote is even listed or placed on his historic memorial bust here in Beaufort, South Carolina. You can see those words inscribed. And as you read them, as an African American woman, I get a great sense of pride and dignity when I read that. And I want to just be able to make sure young people are empowered by that statement as well.
I agree. That's so powerful. And like, yeah. This is something I wish that I was taught in history about him, because he's incredible. Like, thankfully, like, we're at least taught about Frederick Douglass, but
yes.
Like, he's so cool. Like,
yes.
Alongside with Frederick Douglass, that would be amazing. Like,
it is.
That's
it
a
is.
Huge
so those
part.
Are, so Frederick Douglass, when I was in school in the 1970s, excuse me, Frederick Douglass is one of the people that I learned about. And then also Harriet Tubman. Those were the only two that I remember learning about. So that brings me to this other notable person who left her mark on Beaufort. And yes, that's Harriet, the Harriet, who freed hundreds of enslaved people. Well, she also led 150 African-American soldiers in a Union raid on the Cumbie River here in the Beaufort area and liberated more than 700 enslaved people.
I didn't think she could get much cooler, but she just got cooler.
Absolutely. So we learned about maybe the Underground Railroad.
Right.
And her freeing about, you know, a couple of hundred enslaved people. Mm-hmm. I did not know, even living here in Beaufort as a youngster, I did not know about the Cumbie River Raid. I did not know about this. And so Harriet Tubman is going to be the first woman to lead a major military operation in the United States with this raid.
And that's so cool.
It is. It is. It is.
I'm like speechless over here. Like, I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, I have goosebumps because it's so...
Honestly, same.
Yeah. To be able to share the history of our area and of these very notable people and tie them to the history of Beaufort is outstanding. Harriet Tubman also had this quote that I want to share with you. Anyone that she came engaged with, she said, "Don't ever stop. Keep going. If you want a taste of freedom, keep going." I love that quote. And that definitely applies to me just personally. I want to adopt that just for myself. And I love sharing that about her. She has many quotes, but this is the one that really spoke to me personally and that I share when I go into classrooms to students. And,
I
and
love
they
that.
Really, yeah. So then we also have other people, other notable people like United States Brigadier General Rufus Saxton and the more than 5,000 newly freed African Americans of the 1st South Carolina Regiment volunteers. These are going to be the United States Colored Troops. General Saxton was in charge of all the civilian inhabitants here in the Port Royal District, and on his shoulders fell all the responsibility for ideas, conflicts, and a conglomeration of school teachers, farmers, freedmen, and other non-military functions that were taking place here in Port Royal. There is even a little community on St. Helena Island here named after Rufus Saxton called Saxonville. Saxonville is going to be an area that I'll get to talk a little bit later about some of the historic sites.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, I have chills just talking about all of this.
There's more. There's a little bit more.
Oh, good.
And so a few of those school teachers that converged here were Northern abolitionists and missionaries who established and taught at the first freed school, the first school in the South in 1862 for newly freed people. And that's going to be the Penn School on St. Helena Island, one of the things that you're really excited to hear about.
Oh, yeah. So excited.
Maybe
like
right
a giddy little school child.
Absolutely. And we'll get to that a little bit later, maybe in our next setting. But
perfect.
Some of the school teachers I want to talk to you about a little, and their names are Laura Towne, Ellen Murray, and the first African-American teacher, Charlotte Fortin. And so Laura Towne is going to be trained in homeopathic medicine and as an educator. She's a staunch abolitionist, and she's coming down, and Ellen Murray, they're coming down meeting the urgent call for volunteers to the South. The federal government asked for about 40,000 volunteers to meet the most urgent needs of the contraband, of the freedmen here in this area. And these two women, Laura Towne and Ellen Murray, started the school together, the Penn School together. And they brought on, just 6 months later, the first African-American teacher, Charlotte Fortin. Charlotte Fortin is coming from Philadelphia. She's coming from several generations of people, freed people of color. And she's trained in education, and she's going to be teaching at the Brick Baptist Church, another historic site that we'll get to talk about. And vital to Penn School's first schoolhouse and the land acquired for the school, Hastings Gant is very important. He's a newly freed man. He donated and sold 50 acres of land to the founder of the school, Laura Towne. 50 acres. And this is going to be in 1864, 1865. the war is still going on, and he was able to acquire land for the school. He, after acquiring this land, he was considered a wealthy person of color. And he also served in the South Carolina legislature as a representative from Beaufort. And although virtually unknown to most, Hastings Gant was an inspiration to landowners and land toiler alike. He's also one of my heroes.
There are a lot of heroes coming out of South Carolina that I had no idea about. So this is, I'm learning that apparently South Carolina is just the place to find a hero.
Absolutely. Come on. Definitely. We have a lot of inspiration and heroism taking place here. And Hastings Gant is one of them.
It's incredible. I've learned so much today on this episode. I think that this is a fantastic place to stop, and we'll pick up on the next episode where we can talk about the Penn Center and other really historic locations that really influence this that people can still see when they come and visit Beaufort. So thank you so much for being on with us today, Victoria. It's been an incredible conversation.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much to be able to share the history. Thank you.
And thank you everyone that joined us today. Don't forget to subscribe and like and share, and we will talk to you next time. This has been another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Natasha Lai and produced by the Relic team.